It's a big issue at the moment, particularly household content insurance. Recent floods, recent fires have highlighted the fact that the vast majority of people here in Dubai and the UAE do not have household content insurance. Joining us in the studio to shed a bit of light on this is Avinash Babur, the managing partner for Afia Insurance Brokerage. It's been around in the UAE since back in the 1990s, so it has seen a lot. Avinash, morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Just 1% of people here in the UAE have household content insurance. We think figures are hard to come by, and it's the kind of thing that you only realise exist when you are the victim of a fire and the flood, and some people have been in recent weeks and months. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, we were founded in the 90s. Back then, there were no products for home insurance, and people didn't have a clue about what it was. Now, unfortunately, we've seen a series of incidents take place. There have been fires that we know about. Obviously, there were the notable floods earlier this month, and we don't tend to realize how much actually gets covered and how much is at risk when you don't have a simple home insurance policy in place.
I'm trying to think what it would cost to replace everything.
Typically, the cost to replace, or the cost of the insurance.
If I lost everything in my house today, from my socks through to my flat screen TV and my pet pug Coco, what would it cost for me to replace them all?
Typically for expats, we find around 100,000, 200,000 as content sum insured quite common. That'd be the kind of ballpark average.
In dirhams.
And sure, you've got separate high net worth policies for people who have artwork and jewelry and watches and all that sort of stuff. So it can go up to several millions, actually.
I think when people come to Dubai and they rent a property from a landlord, I think they might assume that, for instance, the landlord would have insurance supposing there was water damage, his water tanks on the roof broke and they flooded the place, carpets were ruined, curtains were ruined, maybe artwork was ruined or something. They would assume that the landlord would have cover for that, but it isn't necessarily the case here. What sort of, in your experience, how much cover do landlords actually have?
That's exactly right, and I think that's the reason why we have this 1% penetration, 1% of homes being insured, because the assumption is that the landlord takes care of the insurance part. But the reality is that, you know, everyone's got to be insuring their own interest in the asset that they own and they rent. Sure, you've got your own things, we've spoken about contents, but, you know, you've also got liabilities. As an occupier of an apartment, you know, you can be liable towards your neighbors or people that come to your house, and that needs to be covered. Similarly, you have liabilities towards your landlord. You are staying in their property. If you damage their things, then you could be held liable to pay for those.
But if he damages your things by his water tanks breaking, he's not necessarily covered. That's the problem. It seems like a one-way street to me.
The landlord may or may not have insurance, but they'd still be liable to compensate you if they've caused losses to you. It's a lot harder to do it if you don't have home insurance in place. But if you do have home insurance in place, then the insurance company pays you for your loss and then recovers from your landlord. So it's a lot faster and easier if you have the policy.
But I guess also if the landlord contested something, then you'd have to go through the Emirati courts, which would be a bit
of
a hassle.
Yeah, that's quite right.
What does it cost? I mean, I get the benefits, but what does household contents, let's say 100,000 dirhams worth of stuff, what's it going to cost me a month to insure that?
Right, so you've got two components to contents. You've got movables and immovables, contents and personal belongings, as we call it. Contents is about, the rates are typically at 0.2%, and personal belongings at 1%. So, the average premiums we look at for contents and personal belongings are 500 dirhams, 1,000 dirhams annually. So
annually?
Yeah. So as we say, it's less than 2 dirhams a day.
It's not a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Fire and floods have been making headlines recently, and some people have been hit by that. The one that we don't think about here is theft, because we like to think of the UAE as being a crime-free society. It's not. It's a very low-crime society, but that is different from being crime-free, isn't it?
Absolutely, and you know, as any city grows, the risk grows with it. And we've had a claim, for instance, recently where somebody had around $400,000 worth of jewelry stolen from their home in Emirates Hills, and someone actually broke into the house and uprooted the entire safe and went off. And it was a planned, the occupiers weren't there at the time, they were traveling, and it was a planned theft, and it happened, and it was covered under their home insurance policy. So you do see theft increasing day by day, and burglary as well.
So they got past the Emirates Hill security, past what was, I'm guessing, reasonably good security in the house in Emirates Hill.
They actually had a freight forwarding truck that they came in, so they could actually enter somehow fraudulently. It was a well-planned, well-executed event, and they managed to do it.
My parents were visiting here from the UK in 1999, and my house was burgled when they were staying here, and all my mum's jewellery was taken. There was probably about £7,000 or £8,000 worth of stuff that she had, and we had about 14 policemen in the house at one time. Fingerprints, photographs, everything. It was just astonishing. And but when she went back to the UK, of course, they wouldn't accept the police report because it was all in Arabic. So she couldn't. She really struggled to get the money back from the insurance company in the UK.
Really? No, didn't accept a legal translation even?
Well, that's exactly what we had to do in the end, and sort of do it through embassies and things and get it attested. Yeah.
Let's talk about what happens when the worst happens. You've got the insurance and you put in the claim. What kind of proof do you need? Do the insurance... You're a broker, you're not an insurance company. But by and large, do the insurance companies pay up? What if I say, oh, well, I had, you know, four Rolexes and my Patek Philippe, and then there was my collection of, you know, custom-made Tom Ford suits, and so on and so on. Are they going to say, okay, Richard, we want receipts for all of that? Oh, no, well, the receipts got burned in the fire as well. How does it work? What about credit card transactions? Oh, no, I bought them cash. How does that work?
Yeah, it's a great question. In the event of claim, now each claim is different, and you know it depends on the circumstances of the claim. The idea is to be able to in the best possible way, prove what the amount of the loss is. If it's a bigger claim, like you said, everything gets burned in a fire, then you've got loss adjusters coming in, you've got valuations companies coming in. As far as receipts are concerned, now, you asked about, are insurance companies keen to pay up? Well, I think we've all jointly got the uphill task of persuading the market the importance of home insurance. So at the moment, what you'll find is that the last thing the insurance companies want is to be badmouthed, as famously happens, just because a claim is not paid out due to technicalities. So largely, we've seen that insurance companies are trying to find ways to pay claims just to show value in having home insurance in place. As far as the technicalities are concerned, receipts are important. You've got to try and prove in the best possible way that everything that you've lost in an event, but you can't always do it. So as long as you have a reasonable case, you know, you can show bank statements to show something that you've purchased, or you may have the broken item which can be valued afterwards. As long as it's reasonable and there's no moral hazard or fraud being found in that claim, it usually gets through. It's certainly not a reason not to have home insurance in place.
It's also a great argument for asbestos suits, because they will last the fire. You can prove afterwards, can't you?
It's my birthday next week. Is that what you're going to buy me?
Yeah, a suit made out of asbestos.
You're kidding me.
But you asked about expensive items, Rolexes and things. Those need to be declared on a home insurance policy. Usually any home insurance policy has a single article limit. Typically in Dubai, it's around 10,000 dirhams. It varies from policy to policy, but you know, roughly around 10,000 dirhams. So any item that you have above 10,000 needs to be declared on the policy.
Very quickly, I know one of the trends you've been looking at is one of the world's biggest insurance companies pulling out of this market, Zurich.
Yeah.
Now, they're still very big in life insurance, but in terms of general insurance, that's insuring stuff, cars, home contents, whatever it may be, they've pulled out. You say that has impacted the market. Very briefly, what's it done?
Sure, there has been an impact, and you know, we expect further consolidation and changes in the structure of our insurance industry here in the UAE. We've got about 55 insurance companies here at the moment, which is far too many for a market this size. And due to that, you've had excessive competition. The global economic situation post 2009 hasn't made it any easier. So certainly, you'll find that it's no longer rewarding to run an insurance company if you're too small.
Finally, I mean, a lot of people in Dubai saw the big fire at the Address Hotel on New Year's Eve. And there were some private apartments that were there, or maybe they were rented apartments, I'm not sure. Were those owners of those apartments, for instance, covered by the sort of building insurance, do you think, or would they have had to have their own?
Yeah, so seen many claims from the address.
For that night?
Yes, that's correct. Obviously, the building has been insured by EMA, and, you know, that is a separate claim. But like I said earlier, everyone's got to be insuring their own interests in that.
Yeah.
So people have had things in there. People may have had things damaged due to smoke. And all of these things do come under home insurance if you own those contents and those personal belongings. And I should also add alternative accommodation. You know, in the event of a loss, if you need to be rehomed that night, same at the same time, you need to be put into a hotel, all that sort of stuff gets covered in home insurance policies.
The DVD box set of Simon Sharma's History of Britain that you gave me as a leaving gift back in 2007 is priceless to me. So I should be on the phone to you, Avinash, later on today to make sure that it is suitably insured. Fascinating conversation. Thanks for joining us this morning. Avinash Babur, the managing partner for Afia Insurance Brokerage.
Likewise. Thank you very much.